Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Tuesday, Cleveland. Yeah, Guardians in action. Cavs a day away from game two of the first round of the NBA playoffs. And oh, by the way, a couple days away from a little something called the NFL draft. Right? We're closing in right now. And what? We're 25 hours away from the very start. Feels good. Again, we are excited to get to that point, as we will be all week. Hey, it's Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime on the Fan. Michael Bomer on the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s and do work behind the glass. Michael Markoch. Today is a day where a lot of discourse, again, in what the Browns are going to do in the draft, a large conversation being had, as should be. We're, like I said, 25 hours away from this thing happening. We should be having conversations surrounding the guy that's most likely to be selected with the number two pick. I just go through and look now. It feels like it's almost locked in. And almost want to break down what the move actually looks like. What drafting Travis Hunter actually does for you. Right? When you watch every single Sunday, what is the difference between watching a team with Travis Hunter and then watching a Browns team that would have been without Travis Hunter? Because that's ultimately the goal. We talk about needing to get a blue chip player, a guy who's going to come in and actually make a massive difference. And that should start with the guy who you're drafting it to. But I don't know that it exactly lines up to, hey, you draft Travis Hunter in the same way that, again, talking two very different positions, but the Commanders drafting Jane Daniels last year. And you can go from one of the league's worst teams to immediately finding yourself in a conference championship game. And I think that's where, I know that Browns fans don't have it wrong. There's an understanding there. We all get it. That's not going to be, more likely than not, the discourse that comes from drafting even a two-way player, a wide receiver, corner, whatever that may actually look like. It's not going to be sort of the draft him and all problems are fixed, or all problems are at least minimized to being something that's a side problem for next year, but we're still going to be looking at something great this year. The individual player aspect, I think, still can look great. But when we talk what the actual results of the Browns look like, I think that there's a different conversation there. Because, truthfully, drafting Travis Hunter for you, you're getting one of the top talents. I've said it many times, I'll continue to say it, and I'm happy with any of the three guys you draft at the top there, whether it's Shador, although we'll talk about him later on in the show, but if it's Shador or it's Abdul Carter or it's Travis Hunter, I'm not going to be upset, but I also understand that bringing in any of those guys does not change, I think, the Browns' win total by a significant margin, right? Just by taking Shador Sanders, I don't think that even I wanting Shador at two, I don't think that you're looking at a quarterback in year one that would be stepping up and making a massive change to the point where you look at a three-win Browns team and go, oh, that team is now competing at the top of the AFC. I would hope that he could get there, but I also understand that's not how he comes in year one. It's a much less likely scenario of getting that done. You draft Abdul Carter, it's a similar story. Obviously, less impact from an edge rusher than there is a quarterback because it's quarterback. Yeah, he's going to come in. He'll probably look good individually. How many wins it actually equates to? Well, you have Myles Garrett on your team and you won three games last year. That's about what you could be looking at. Is that edge rushers don't necessarily make the difference, and I can make the same argument for a guy like Travis Hunter. The production may be there. He may pass the eye test, but ultimately, even in going and getting Travis Hunter with the number two pick, will you look 3 years down the line and be completely satisfied and happy and realize that without him, your team would be nowhere near the same that they are? Yeah, but in the current state that the Browns are in, I think it's important to keep in mind that looking at Travis Hunter is probably not going to be the difference maker between Browns wins and Browns losses. He'll be able to help, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think contribute to those wins. He'll help make the offense more dynamic, but he himself will more likely than not be the individual difference maker. He won't be able to saddle up the entire team on his back, toss him in the backpack, and carry him along the way throughout the season in 2025. And it's not to say, again, that I don't want to draft Travis Hunter or that the Browns should be looking elsewhere or desperately attacking the quarterback if they don't even feel like Shador's the guy. No, continue to stay on your process. Continue to draft the guy that you feel is probably the best player available there, which, again, feels pretty sure that it's going to be Travis Hunter. I just don't want there to be the almost incorrect expectation of going in and figuring out what the Browns are going to be heading into the next season because we fall in love with Travis Hunter, we think he's an incredible player, and then all of a sudden expect 1 year after a 3-14 season to go and have that turned around. Travis Hunter can look as great as ever. You can see wide receivers put up great stat lines with teams who just don't push those stat lines into wins. Happens year in and year out. You can pick off a great wide receiver talent that has great years and their team ultimately falls short. The Bengals have the quarterback figured out. And they have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and still can't get into the playoffs. Right, and obviously a large part of that on the back of their defense, which is not the case for the Browns, but they have the quarterback well over you. It's just the reasoning that as I look at it and I go through, yes, I'm excited for Travis Hunter if he's the guy that's drafted. I'm excited to figure out what he looks like and what the dynamic will look like with the Browns and trying to get him to be the most productive player he can, all while managing how much can this guy really do? How far can he go? But the expectations need to be where the expectations need to be. Be excited for Travis Hunter, but just because you're excited for Travis Hunter, in my mind, does not push you to be, let's just be excited for the Cleveland Browns. You're going to have to separate one from the other. And what should be certain excitement for your draft pick at two, and what should be a very cautiously optimistic excitement coming for your team in the 2025 season. Because ultimately, there's no way to tell what Travis looks like. Now, I have previously called him what I think is probably the most safe pick in the draft. Because, yes, he probably has the highest ceiling comboed with the highest floor, given the way that he plays two positions naturally. And has the ability to end up playing both of those. You're getting either a chance at a premier corner in the draft or a premier wide receiver, and with a then again boost up into the fact that he can play both. It's incredible. I just don't know that without the ceiling being blasted through the roof and him looking year one, which people have compared him to, potentially looking like a Justin Jefferson while also being Denzel Ward on the defensive side of the ball, without him being exactly that in year one, I just don't see the Browns going from wherever you place them now, probably 6 to 8 wins, and then being dramatically boosted another 3 to 4 wins up, where you look at this team and say, bona fide playoff team, don't have to worry about it. It's just not the correlation that I draw. It's not the relation that I make with these two guys, with a team and a player at the current states that they're in. But I will say, as I go through and I look at Travis Hunter, again, highest ceiling, I think that's clear and obvious for me. The idea that you can play two positions already puts your ceiling probably beyond the view of we can even imagine. If he's able to accomplish it better than anybody else has in the last 30 years of football, that feels, again, it's fine. The ceiling can't be capped, but I think the more interesting conversation then comes out is where you view the floor of Travis Hunter. Because that's what's going to be the difference maker. That's what really the change is here from looking at the Browns in year one. Because I do think that realistically, with everything that goes into this and trying to play two positions, trying to balance the snap count between offense and defense, and then trying to pair it together with a team that won 3 games last year and trying to turn it on its head and get back to a winning season, that you're probably looking more in year one at a player, I don't want to say close to their floor, but far from their ceiling. You're probably falling somewhere there in the middle. But if we go through and look at what the floor actually is for Travis Hunter, I think that's why you're going to be coming away from Thursday with a near guarantee that Travis Hunter is going to be the guy with you for the 2025 season and beyond, and the guy that the Browns turn in the card with his name on it. Because the floor is ultimately higher than I think any other prospect that you could possibly put out from this draft and probably from the last 10 drafts. Because you are looking at a guy who is going to be able to not only try to contribute on the offensive side of the ball, and he's one of the top receivers in this draft class, a rather lackluster wide receiver class, but one of the top receivers nonetheless. And he's been compared through many draft analysts, is having comparable draft scores and prospect scores to guys like Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Producers of the football, guys that we viewed very highly going into last year's draft. So if that's the start of your floor, and then you turn to where I think he's actually better at football and on the defensive side and playing corner, and you say, yeah, it feels pretty good, the floor that he presents individually at that position too. This is why when we talk about the safest pick in the draft, or what I view is almost a slam dunk pick at two, because if you're going through and getting the multiple options, the floor for me is you're probably coming out. And now it could plummet, but I think the realistic floor is that you're at least getting a player that is playable as a starter on one side of the ball. And right now, if we look at corner and we look at wide receiver, I would say that those are probably coming up at least within the next year and where they stand, positions of need for the Browns. You obviously need the wide receiver help. Look at the room and it's the way that it is. And I think when you take into account that Greg Newsom probably not...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. so unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going to be back, at the very least, beyond this season. You could also probably use the corner help. It's the slam dunk pick, but I wonder where Browns fans then are almost placing the floor for Travis Hunter, which is what I want to ask you. 216-474-0092. Where is the floor for you for Travis Hunter as a prospect coming to the Browns in 2025? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot coming up for you guys tonight, including at 9:40. We're going to talk to Greg Swartz, Bleacher Report. The Cavs game 2 tomorrow night. You should be excited. The Cavs have a chance to go up 2-0 over the Miami Heat and start to make quick work, hopefully, of a first-round series. We'll talk to Greg about game 1, the upcoming changes for game 2. We also have the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We have Get a Grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock. We'll bring in Michael Markoch later on for another edition of Change Your Mind in the 10 o'clock hour as well. But right now, 216-474-0092. What is the floor for you for Travis Hunter? And I want to play you a clip from Dan Orlovsky when he joined the Afternoon Drive show about, I think, crazy expectations that he's already putting on the potential number 2 pick in the draft. We'll get to all that and your calls coming up here in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime on The Fan. 216-474-0092. What is your floor for Travis Hunter coming up in a Browns 2025 season? We'll get to that coming up here in a couple of minutes, but I did want to address the newest news here in the room, which is Ty Jerome finishing third behind Peyton Pritchard as the winner for Sixth Man of the Year, which if you ask Tom Thibodeau, wouldn't even exist because you don't play players off the bench. You don't need those guys. You just got to play the main guys for the Knicks in the top 40 minutes. So no shocker that they didn't finish within the top four there. Two Cavs finished within the top four. Just saying, bench players matter. But I just love that this award has become the, oh, well, people know your name and you come off the bench and you guys won a title last year kind of award. But yeah, the Celtics are really good. Peyton Pritchard, a very good player. The fact that Ty Jerome is just miles behind, it makes absolutely no sense to me. But I can tell you why it is. I can tell you why he's miles behind Peyton Pritchard, and it's because one of them plays for the Cavs, and one of them plays for the Boston Celtics, who won a title last year, who the nation gravitates towards, who people know the name Peyton Pritchard, and Ty Jerome exploded onto the scene. I will say, Ty Jerome should be hands down a most improved player. And the fact that he's probably not going to get that award more likely than not, that's going to be the bigger explosion for me. But even just going through, right, and let's look at the per 36 stats, because that's how we balance it out, because Pritchard plays a little bit more time than Ty does in the grand scheme of the season here. But if you break it down by what they did this year in the per 36, the numbers just they favor Ty Jerome almost absurdly. Right, in points per game, Ty Jerome leads Peyton Pritchard by 4. If you go through and you look at steals per game, right, Ty Jerome, look at him as a defender, a stat that doesn't really matter. It steals as much as how good of a defender are you, but I think we could pretty much agree that Ty Jerome is a fine defensive player. Peyton Pritchard, closer to a non-factor than Ty is in my mind. Ty leads that category as well by about a whole steal per 36 there. Assists, the way of Ty. Total rebounds, very slightly the way of Peyton Pritchard by less than a half. We view Peyton Pritchard as an all-time scoring menace. It's really what he does. He had the most threes off the bench this year, and he set the record in NBA history for most threes off the bench. Who was the more efficient three-point shooter? That's Ty Jerome. Again, it just breaking down the numbers and looking at it, there's no method to the madness. The same way that it felt like you had to battle to give Evan Mobley his due credit, and he had to actually go out there and speak up for himself and have Darius chiming in the background constantly and poking in on why he should be Defensive Player of the Year, was almost the same thing that I felt like they needed for Ty Jerome, to the point where, again, it feels like a popularity contest because Evan Mobley speaks up and Darius speaks up on his behalf, and all of a sudden we're talking from like minus 450 for Draymond Green to win Defensive Player of the Year to people being like, oh, yeah, you're right. All the stats that you did present do kind of show that Evan Mobley's the better defensive player. And then the odds shift dramatically to Evan Mobley almost immediately after it happens. It's the same thing. You go look at the stats. Ty Jerome, just the more efficient player, the better player, well-rounded, off the bench. And you look at the way that he played in game 1 of the playoffs, obviously not factored into the decision. That's what he does. Comes off the bench, was the second highest scorer for the Cavs in game 1 against the Heat because he dropped 28 and did so efficiently and held his own on the defensive end, wasn't completely exposed. I'm so beyond the... And listen, I'm sure that Ty, if you were to go and talk to him, a Sixth Man of the Year award is not what he's playing for in his career. He probably doesn't care all that much, just the way in that he carries himself and the guy that Ty Jerome is. But that's why I'm here. Right? I'm here on the side to battle for Ty Jerome. Because those just make absolutely no sense. I can see it coming. I'm not actually that upset by the result. I'm that upset that you look at it and Ty Jerome's miles behind the top two guys here for the Sixth Man of the Year award. When realistically, if we're talking about guys putting up numbers off the bench, Ty Jerome's probably top of that list. Right, doing everything on the floor that you could absolutely ask of him, as a guard especially. It's not my fault that Peyton Pritchard is a one-trick pony, and Ty Jerome's more of the do-it-all, and oh, by the way, even the thing that you do well, Ty Jerome also does better than you do. But I concede for now. I'll take up my problems with that come the Eastern Conference Finals, assuming that the Cavs and the Celtics both get there. I did want to get back to the question, which we're asking you at 216-474-0092. What is the floor for Travis Hunter? And I laid out to you what it was. I think that you're getting at least a startable player at the very least. If things pretty much fall off the face of the earth, I don't see any way that Travis Hunter is not at least startable at one of the positions that he's coming out in the draft. And you're looking at least a decent player there. And that's the floor. That is a bottom rung. This is not a knock on Travis Hunter. Understand that that is the basement of what he becomes in my eyes. Now, I think the ceiling, again, is untapped potential. But Dan Orlovsky of ESPN was on with Afternoon Drive today. And I can say we can't see the ceiling, and that carries one connotation. What Dan sort of laid out there carried a whole nother connotation in addition.
I have been adamant that Cleveland should take Travis Hunter at 2 since basically college football season ended. He is sensational on tape. I would love for someone to tell me how he doesn't become a Hall of Famer. Like how he doesn't become in that conversation. I'm not saying gold jacket lock, but that type of player. He's physically remarkably gifted. He's got unbelievable ball skills and instincts. He's got ridiculously high character. He does nothing but want to play ball. I think he's a top five playmaker in the NFL. I think he gets to that, absolutely. Because when you watch him run, sometimes like, man, that looks like Randy. Sometimes it looks like Justin Jefferson. Sometimes it looks like Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's one of those receivers. You know, one of my favorite qualities of guys is you could throw the ball to him when you shouldn't as a quarterback.
Like, I'm willing to tell you the sky is the limit if there's anything out there. Almost a claiming a gold jacket on the guy. And I understand, like, if you listen to the clip, Dan very clearly says, I'm not handing him over the gold jacket at the moment. But placing him in the caliber of, yeah, that guy right there, Hall of Fame type talent. I don't know if we're just completely overblowing the fact of what Travis Hunter is, because he is. He's a great player that should be at the top of the draft. I just don't hear anybody crowning most of these guys at the top. That's a Hall of Fame player right there. As a Hall of Fame is very difficult to make it into, okay? Like, we're talking about quarterbacks with near 20-year careers that aren't getting first ballot Hall of Fame. Right? And rightfully so. Eli Manning, I'm looking at you. But you can have a great career and not make it. There's plenty of guys sitting on the door knocking, not able to get in. To me, going out there and putting that kind of expectation, that kind of parameter on here's what he can be and here's what I expect him to be. The floor is one thing to look at it and say, I think he's going to be really good. The ceiling and the way we paint it, I'm not deeming anybody Hall of Fame talent before they step onto an NFL field. And certainly he has the measurables. He has the speed, the playmaking ability, the natural knack for the ball. He has all of the things that check the box of him being a very good talent at either position. But I'm not going through and acting like Travis Hunter wasn't playing against Big 12 competition on either side of the ball. Like, yeah, he should look really good playing against the Big 12. When we know he was going to be a first-round pick, we had that figured out. That's not coming as a surprise, a shock to anybody. He should look absolutely dominant. He should be a guy that at Colorado, when you're going up against Kansas State, that he looks like somebody that you could throw the ball to even when you shouldn't, to quote Dan, right? As we're looking at wide receivers, and I understand a different class here, and this guy's going to be valued probably higher than anybody in the next 30 years if he stays on the track that he's at. Like, Jeremiah Smith is a guy that in the national championship or against Oregon in the college football playoffs, you can throw the ball to in a moment that you shouldn't. Triple covered, you lob it up, and you say, Jeremiah, go get it. That's against Oregon. I don't know that as I'm looking at Travis Hunter playing against most of these Big 12 teams, I'm treating him with that same regard. I'm treating him to that same level, that same height. And even when Jeremiah Smith comes out, I'm not going to look at you and say, that guy's a Hall of Famer in the NFL. No, he holds all of the NFL characteristics in a way that Travis Hunter holds a lot of NFL characteristics. He should translate. He should be really good. I'm not saying he's just absolute garbage. I'm just saying there's a difference between that guy looks really good, he could definitely be something, and that guy is a Hall of Fame talent. Go through and basically deem him as the top pick in the draft and an automatic superstar in the NFL. I got to see it first. We've seen this story pan out way too many of times where you talk about a guy at the top of the draft at any position, and he's supposed to be a bona fide, going to be elite player, and that guy turns out to not be the bona fide elite player. Trevor Lawrence. That's a generational prospect at quarterback that right now looks rather mundane at quarterback in the NFL. I love the fact that it gets people excited. I love the fact that the guy that's most likely going to the Cleveland Browns is being viewed as the can't-miss prospect. Andrew Berry, if you basically didn't make this pick, you'd be considered a fool. Everyone would scratch their head at you. Those are all things that I love. But gold jacketing a guy is the step too far for me. That's where we put on the brakes. That's where Hall of Fame talent, I'm not riding. You want to say all pro? Okay. You want to say Pro Bowl talent? Definitely. Hall of Fame in a gold jacket does not fly in my book. I believe he can get there. I believe that the ceiling elevates to there, but you can't just crown him before it happens. You can't just crown him before he plays a single snap. I need to see him do it at the NFL level against guys that aren't fourth-round picks who might spiral out and not actually have a home in the NFL in college. Again, I've gone through. I've looked at the guys that matched up against him, that covered him. Best corner on the field ever against him at the wide receiver position is a projected fourth-round pick, a corner from Kansas State. You want to look at the wide receivers he guarded as well? Well, aside from a couple of reps against Tet McMillan, hey, you're in a very similar boat in terms of Big 12 wide receivers. 216-474-0092. Where's the floor for Travis Hunter as well? Coming up here in about 5 minutes, we'll get to the most pressing clips from across the station's guests today with the station buzz. That at 740. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys here until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan. Going to get to a little bit.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Cavs talk coming up at 8 o'clock. Got to see whether what's sort of the difference here. They win in 4, they win in 5. Does it really change the way you feel about the series? Again, that's coming up in about 17 minutes. But as we get to 7:40 here, let's take a review of what has been the most pressing things said by our station's guests from across the day today. And there were some very, very interesting quotes and things said by guests today. Let's get to it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com on with Baskin and Phelps today. And she talked about where the Browns could be looking coming Thursday in the first round of the draft and the picks that they could possibly make in, yes, that would be a potential for more than one.
I still think that at this moment in time, they probably are leaning towards Travis Hunter at number two. I would trade back in the first round to get Jalen Milroe after that. There's just something about him that I really like. Do I think the Browns will actually do that? I'm going to say probably not, but it's something that I would do.
Now, this is sort of my scenario that I'm on entirely, is the potential of Travis Hunter at two and then take the quarterback either at 33 or trading back up into the first round. Now, of course, we have the quote from Andrew Berry basically laying out, hey, I don't value fifth-round options the way that you go, and you value the fifth-year option. But I think as you look at a guy like Milroe, sure, I'd say worth a second-round pick. I'd say worth going and getting that guy, even if you want to trade back him to the first to make sure you get him. But I think there's a lot of interesting discourse on the quarterbacks and where he could potentially go, to the point where you might just be able to sit tight and sit pat at 33 and see what falls into your lap. But I ride high on the train. If you want to get Travis Hunter, if that's the pick you want to make, sure. Tip of the cap, nod my head at you. Enjoy getting a potential generational player. You got to figure out the quarterback early. I'll be fine with Milroe. I'll be fine with Dart down there. Any guy that the Browns evaluate and say, hey, we really like that guy and he's right where we want him, go take him. Yeah, I'm all on board for that. But it felt like what is once a what are the Browns going to do again has now turned into, well, yeah, we're pretty sure here. The Browns are going Travis Hunter, and it does feel like a lot of connections linking them to Jalen Milroe. Let's keep it rolling, though. Brian Hoyer on with Ken and Daryl this morning. Former NFL quarterback for your Cleveland Browns. And when it comes to the number two pick, Brian Hoyer echoes that. There's no other guy to go.
Andrew Berry should watch draft day and pull a Kevin Costner, write himself a note, and say Travis Hunter, no matter what. He's the best player in the draft. And because Tennessee's drafting Cam Ward because of this necessity, you essentially have the first pick and can take the best player. And think about adding potentially the best corner part-time to a defense that's going to have to defend against the Bengals. You can bring them in. You have already some good corners there with Ward and Newsom. Now you add Travis Hunter to the mix on situational football. You're really getting two players in one. And as you guys mentioned earlier in the show, he's fully committed to playing both ways. He's not going to play both ways full time, but I do believe he primarily plays as receiver and he comes in on a package. So you're really getting two players for the price of one. And how many times does a guy come around who is potentially the best receiver in the draft and the best corner in the draft, a Heisman Trophy winner? And on top of it all, we've talked about his competitiveness is just limitless, and his stamina is unbelievable too. And so I think you're getting a truly generational player.
Again, I don't like to throw around the word generational player, but I think it does apply when you talk to Travis Hunter and what he can be, that he has the potential to be that generational player. I don't know that I can get behind the lock it in no matter what has to be Hunter at two. I think there's still a discourse. Now, what the Browns are going to do, I think we're closer to that, but what the Browns should do, I would think that Abdul Carter should still be in that mix. I would think that even a guy like Shedeur Sanders in a quarterback, just because of the positional value, should be in the conversation with that pick. And part of what sort of drives me away from Travis Hunter really is the way that the Browns view him, which is wide receiver first, corner second, when I view it in the opposite light. Because I can see the way that you play a corner full-time and then bring him in and say, all right, you're going to chime in here. You're going to play some snaps at wide receiver. You're going to come in and, for lack of better words, be a gadget guy, although I know it's not exactly that, and Travis is much more talented than that. I just don't know how you get it done the other way. How truthfully do you work in, yeah, you're a full-time wide receiver, but we're going to bring you in for some snaps at corner? I can't even begin to process what that looks like. Playing a partial time as a corner, sure, you stick him in man-to-man coverage, I would assume. You try not to have him doing too much with what's going to be a lack of chemistry on the defensive side of the ball compared to the other corners that are in there all day, every day, working with that group. You just bring him in on third down and saying, well, lock up Jamar Chase. Bring him on third down, say, Justin Jefferson's yours. Right, pick your wide receiver, whether it's DK, George Pickens, guys you have to face two times a year, guys you face in off once every 3 years. I just don't know that the consistency of playing corner, it feels like that's much more of a reps-based position, that you're playing in the long period of time, you're typically going to get the best of a guy. You come in with slightly tired legs, not in a rhythm, not having seen him go through the motions and show you the different looks he's been showing you all day long, and actually being able to study that through the entirety of the week, that to me just feels like a more far-fetched solution. To me, it's you play a majority of the snaps at corner and then are either partially wide receiver, or you have to get to the point where you can actually trust him to play a majority both ways, which is a tall task in the NFL. And we can talk elite stamina. We can talk about a guy that maybe doing it at the college level has been doing it better than a lot of the guys we've seen previously. But that's still a tall task. Moving up again, Big 12 to NFL, quite the gap in there. All right, let's roll it around. Afternoon drive today. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN joining the show. He commented on Jalen Milroe and what he truly feels is the ceiling of a quarterback that the Browns could take right around there at the late of the first or early on in the second.
If you closed your eyes and you went back a couple years to a player like Jalen Hurts and compared when they were coming out of school, them side by side, you would go, man, Milroe just looks like the better player. Even if you went back to, this is ridiculous, but even when you went back to Lamar, you'd go, huh, you know, because Milroe's bigger and he's just as fast. But I look at a guy that, number one, physically is as gifted as you can be at the position when it comes to just trait. Number two, 2 years at Alabama, two different offenses, only one real NFL wide receiver, and I think he's really just developing and learning how to play the position. And, like, my perspective is this. If he's got really high-end character and work ethic, which by all accounts he does, I don't know the young man, and you as an organization believe in the developmental part of your organization, then you should absolutely take Jalen Milroe.
And now I think that's where a lot of the questions come in for the Browns. Do you believe in their ability to actually develop a quarterback into being something that you just truthfully haven't been able to see a quarterback develop under the regime that's here? Or honestly, basically any regime that's been here since 1999. You haven't been able to see the quarterback development. To me, that shouldn't be a turn away, though. If Kevin Stefanski is supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, Jalen Milroe should be the cream of the crop, the gem of guys that he would love to work with and turn into a premier quarterback in the NFL. If he has all the traits and just needs a little bit of coaching, a little bit of teaching and some tune-up, that should be a gold mine for a guy like Kevin Stefanski. I do like the comparison to Jalen Hurts. I think it's very accurate. I think it's fitting. And if you like him more than you say like Jalen Hurts coming out, which I think most people look at the two side by side, as Dan said, and probably say Milroe is the better prospect. A lot of people liked what Jalen Hurts has turned into. Milroe, if he's able to emulate half of that, can be a usable quarterback in the NFL. He's able to emulate that. You're looking at a guy who is a more talented runner. And at this point in his career, compared to where Hurts was when he was getting drafted, I would say also the more talented arm talent. Might not be as accurate as Hurts was, but they're not that far off. And Milroe's definitely got more of a cannon of an arm. Another quarterback possibility, a potential solution here, coming from former NFL GM Thomas Dimitroff, who joined Afternoon Drive today as well. He talked about the chances of getting the Colorado teammates. That would be both Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders.
That feels unfathomable to me, like to come up that high on something like that. It's a strong move. I don't really believe that he's going to drop that far down. Of course, there's so much discussion about that. At one time, people had talked about you guys, the Browns, moving up into the 20s. I feel like that's what I've been discussing with a lot of different spaces. And that takes a lot. I think you're still talking about, you know, you're obviously talking about a 2, right? You're also talking about, you know, a 3 plus something else. And I think you have to be creative with it. I personally don't know if I'd want to do that. And I don't think he's going to last that long to be messing around once you get into the 20s.
Now, coming up at 8:20, we're going to talk a little bit more on this because Albert Breer had a really good comment. It's not the one I'm going to play for you coming up here in a minute. But I wanted to get to what Albert Breer's sort of retort almost is to that, not directly to Thomas Dimitroff, but in a roundabout way, what he feels happening. Because I would agree with Thomas that I don't feel like the quarterback position is going to allow just one guy to slip through into the first round and everybody else be later. I don't think we're viewing these quarterbacks the same way we were in 2022. But yeah, if you're able to get Shador if he falls, I think that's, again, sort of a no-brainer. But if it's, yeah, you got to trade back up into the first round, yeah. If you have to go to the middle of the first round, that's where Thomas's comments come in and stand strong, because that's a lot of capital to go up and try to get that guy. It's a lot of capital to burn to try to make sure you have that guy on your team and probably burning first round, second round picks in order to do so. Let's get to Albert Breer here, though. Also, as we finish off the afternoon drive trifecta today of the MMQB, Albert Breer talked about whether or not Andrew Berry actually does need a good draft for this season.
I would say it would help, but winning is the biggest thing, right? Like, so if they don't have a great draft, but they, you know, a bunch of their free agents work out, you know, Denzel Ward stays healthy and Myles Garrett has a career year, they figure it out at quarterback. Like, if they go like 9-7, 10-6, make the playoffs, you know, like, obviously that's going to be the overriding thing, not just the draft. But obviously having a great draft would help make the point that, you know, he's doing a good job, which I think he has on balance over the last 5 years, and also, you know, give him, and also give the team the best chance to get where they need to go for everybody to be safe.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I think that if you're Andrew Berry, you probably have the longer leash, as we talked about. But I also don't love that you're going through and you go through and have a great year this year and don't finish in the draft well, and you look at your picks and say, well, those weren't very great either. Because I know the discourse that comes. Even if they play well, it's going to be, well, Andrew Berry still can't draft. He can't trust it. He just needs to knock this one out of the park. It doesn't have to be an absolute for him to keep his job, but I think to quiet a lot of the noise around his job, at least from the fan base, you probably have to have a good draft this year. And let's just not skip anything. Let's not skip any steps. Build through the draft. Actually get it right this year. Andrew Berry, I put my hands together, and I do truly beg for you to get it right. All right, that'll do it for the station buzz. When we come on back here at 8 o'clock, let's have a conversation surrounding your Cavs. Is there a difference to you? The Cavs finish this series against the Heat in 4, or they finish it in 5? I'll get to your thoughts as well as mine coming up in about 5 minutes here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help. You save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.